And we're back. Welcome to No Direction Beyond, your Starfinder news, reviews, and interviews podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Param, and I'm joined by...
Alexander Agunis, the Everyman Gamer.
And I'm James. I write Code Switch.
Excellent. And today we are going to resume the primordial creation that is Create Demi-Planet. A feature that you all have asked for. And no, even though we have gone monthly, we have not canceled that feature. We are going to continue. But it is right, Alex. It has been a month and a half, I guess, since the last time we've done it. So we're probably a little bit rusty, but James, you binged. You binged the episode. You gave us a summary. It was wonderful.
James MVP, he's carrying this team hard.
Just like Overwatch.
Just like in Overwatch, like all of you guys saw.
I mean, on YouTube, there's always the option of times two speed.
And most
what do we sound like in times
catchers
two?
Catchers will do it, too.
Oh, very fast, very fast. Okay. I am unlistenable at times two speed, though.
Now, before we jump on in it, there is a couple of bit of news and banter to hit. The first of which is that many of you probably already know, but the Starfinder team has undergone a major change since the last time we chatted. Most notably, Owen Casey Stevens has left his position at Paizo and has moved on to other greener and flatter pastures.
Much flatter.
Very flat. Actually, really close to where I live now. And then has accepted other responsibilities. His family has relocated, and that is why he had to leave. But he is no longer an active permanent member of the Starfinder team. We love you, Owen. You're always a friend
of
the network.
He's a freelancer now. He's joined me once again. Actually, I don't think there was ever a time where we were both freelancers, because I think as I started freelancing, he got like hired. So it's like, whoa. I actually messaged somebody. I was like, hey, I bet you could get Owen to do this work for you. And they were like, Like, when you have the opportunity to snag Owen, you always, always snag Owen Casey Stevens. That's just how it works, everybody.
I have no doubt that he is not going to be starved for work opportunities. He is definitely one of the best game designers on the market at the moment. We wish you much success and luck, Mr. Owen Casey Stevens.
I'd salute, but I'm talking to you in a meeting tomorrow.
All right. Other news is Gen Con. By the time next week rolls around, we will be there. And
yes.
Yeah, it will technically be Gen Con Day Zero, but yes. Day Zero has sort of become the official Day One, and now Tuesday is Day Zero. But now Tuesday is becoming so popular enough of a Day Zero that people are starting to show up on Monday. And Gen Con just sort of creeps and creeps and expands and all consumes everything in its path. Including
Gen Con, the real Rovagug.
So, speaking of Gen Con, what are your all's plans for Gen Con before we get in the nitty gritty of Create Demi-Planet?
I am a free agent. It's great. I don't have any responsibilities. I signed up to do one thing, and that one thing I signed up to do is play the special again. I'm playing Siege of Gallowspire again, because it was great the first time. And this time I want to get murdered alongside one of my best friends, James Ballad.
Oh.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'm playing it by year. I'm going to probably see if I can get some general tickets and jump into some society games that I want to do. Other than that, my books even came in like through snail mail before like I'm leaving. So like, I don't even have to stand in the Paizo line if I don't want to. It's amazing. Every year I've stood in that line, and it's usually a rush to get my stuff before I have to go to run my first slot or whatever. And now I'm just like, I'm free. It's great. I'm really excited.
You know who else won't be waiting in that Paizo line?
You?
James or me.
Right, because you have a home. I heard that they got you a very nice box and filled it with extra water and some bedding, and you guys will be good.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are like sugar gliders, right? You're the Paizo sugar gliders?
Yeah, but I don't know where they're going to get like a big enough wheel for us to get their exercise in.
Yeah, they don't need a wheel. You just give James a computer with Overwatch and you're fine.
Okay. The computer will probably be enough to handle Overwatch.
Oh, definitely. It's
the same one I got to use at PazoCon, so.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that computer was beautiful. That was like a machine. Was that Paizo's machine? Or
yeah, that's
like...
Paizo's. Yeah.
Oh, do you think they're going to lug it all the way from Seattle to Indianapolis?
No, they're using a laptop this year.
Oh, gosh. No, it won't be powerful enough.
No, I've also had hands-on with this laptop before. It's a gaming rig.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, the dirty secret of is if you want to make games or like make content that like is similar to games in quality, you need a machine that is capable of running said games. So like a gaming laptop is or computer is really like what you need to do anything professional, which is great because then you could buy the computer and say it's for work, and they'd be like just like that. You guys can't see, but I'm tapping my fingers on the keyboard like I'll do exaggerated
So evil.
Yeah, and for anybody that's confused, me and James, as well as Vanessa and Lauren of the network, are going to be manning the stream for Paizo this year, just like we did at PaizoCon earlier this year and Gen Con the year before that. So we'll be live streaming and keeping you all entertained throughout the entirety of Gen Con, right from the seminar room. Now, of course, we're not all actually chained in that room nonstop. There are shifts. God. There are breaks. There's a reason there's a team of us this year and not just me and Lauren. As well as there's going to be some Paizo crew helping us. So we will have plenty of fun and get to enjoy our Gen Con as well. But you all will have like almost 30 hours of premium entertainment to enjoy throughout Gen Con. So even if you are not at Gen Con yourselves this year, or maybe you are at Gen Con, but you're doing other things besides sitting in the streaming room, watching the seminars, you could enjoy them anyway, because at No Direction, we con when you can't.
You know, you missed a really good opportunity to do the Pacha when you said so good. Yeah, you really should. We got it. How else are we going to appeal to all those YouTube stars if we don't meme it up?
Oh God, I love memes.
We've survived a long time without memes here at No Direction.
I don't know how.
We predate them. We predate the term meme, actually.
Do you really though? I've seen some of those like little hand statues in from ancient Greece. It's basically memes in statue form. I think memes are as old as humanity.
Back when No Direction was formed, we called them flash videos.
Yes. There you go. See? They just update and they evolve and they're ever-changing. Someday there'll be something completely different and there'll be like a meme library.
I mean, Google says the first meme was the dancing internet baby of 1996. And we all predate that because we're older than that, but...
I don't also, know that we called the term meme wasn't in...
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I want to know how many of our fans are younger than the dancing baby of 1996.
So apparently... Really the word meme is from 1976 from a book by Richard Dawkins.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm this also jamming some tables for Starfinder at Gen Con. So playing Starfinder in lower levels, I may kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And James is a good GM. If you died, you earned it. You don't have to feel like he went out of his way to murder you. That's too much work for James. I've been there. He lets you murder yourselves.
It's amazing. If you let kids play near a cliff, eventually they just get closer and closer to it and they don't realize their limits.
Yeah. And then they fall off and then they have to go and they have to make a new child.
That's an extra lunch in the bag, you know, in the basket. So.
Oh, God. But I guess this is a good time to start talking about our own personal cliff in the demiplanet, isn't it? That place that all the adventurers wander to and just fall off and are never seen again. Oh, come on. You know, that was a great transition. It was fantastic.
It definitely was a transition. It did its intended duty. I thought Perrin was going to lead us off. That's why I'm confused.
I am very confused. Don't worry. I'm confused enough for both of us right now.
Well.
All right. So, creating the Demi Planet. It's time for us to dive into that. As you all know, we have recently been engaged in creating a solar system for the Starfinder role-playing game, one that is a really terrible place to be. We've made a really crappy place to live so far because we put a hell planet right in the middle of it, It is connected to a series of magical portals that are connected to all the other worlds. And every time they connect to this this unfortunate hell planet, it wrought destruction on their world as well. Those are that's where we are. And so we are here today to talk about who lives there.
Yeah, what is it? Part of the original core ideas of this was that the people that, or the creatures that made these gates that are from that planet still exist in the setting, but in a much reduced state.
Do you guys have answers for the question?
Yeah, I've been giving it some thought. How far along do you think you are with your ideas?
I have an idea, and I think it's a terrible idea, but I'm going to pitch it anyway.
If you want more time, I can start with mine, because I've been jumping down. Go.
But you can go first, because you did all the work getting the data together.
Yeah. So earlier, Param was really on board with this idea of a Fae, what do we call it, the Fae Great Hunt?
Yeah, I was basing a wild hunt, basically, wild for the hunt. Fae. And
that's it. And I thought that was a fun idea, but hard to mold the whole civilization around. The connection that Fae have to the first world, to the material, or to the positive energy plane, and how that kind of relates to suns in general Pathfinder, Starfinder lore, makes, I think, an interesting jumping off point for those original inhabitants. The original inhabitants, while themselves a little, can be nebulous because Fae, there's so many different varieties. I think an important part to figure out is why they were there, because Fae just don't evolve in place. They come from somewhere else to get to a material plane place like these are. With the planet that we have there, there are gates on it that connect to other places. And you would make gates because you want it to go to places. So there would need to be something that was on these other planets that these transplanted Fae from the first world would want. That is a little bit difficult to figure out. Do you have any ideas about that? Because Fae are kind of nebulous in their desires. So any ideas on that?
The reason that I was pitching for the Fae to be here on the planet and to have built the gates to travel to the other ones easily and in numbers was that it was all about the hunt. So they came to this solar system because it had a variety of populated species on its planets. And so they settled the hell planet, which was not a hell planet originally. It became a hell planet at the convergence because magic badness all lined up all at once. And that was not good. And the Fae are there going to the other planets and built the gates simply because the thing they wanted there is prey. The concept of the Fae and the wild hunt is not a new concept. The basic idea is that the Fae lead this hunt and people can either join into the hunt and become part of this hunt, or if you choose to run from the hunt, then you're automatically the hunt's prey. Whether you're an animal or a person, it doesn't matter. You just get wrapped up into this wild frenzy of rush of, you know, fight or flight scenario. And you get transformed when you join the Wild Hunt in mythology. So they want more powerful, more interesting prey to hunt. And we have built several planets with interesting things on them. So they were like, this new planet, it makes a really great hunting lodge. And from here, we can put gates on these planets with other creatures. And then every so often, we tied into the natural, you know, rotation of the planets and I believe you were using like ley lines, I believe, Alex, was your explanation. Mm-hmm. And that ties in really well with this too. This nice strong magical bridge happens every so often. We'll just time our hunts to when those connections happen and then just like go hog wild on that planet when it opens.
I think the idea of the wild hunt is great, but I was kind of comparing it in my, when I was going through this in my mind, like the concept of Jihad, where it's like just a grand quest of some sort. Because Fae, in once again in the Pathfinder, Starfinder cosmos, is that their souls are different from others, and they are effectively immortal in their home plane and not when they're outside of it. So in general, Fae don't want to leave the first world, or if they do, they want to do it in small batches. So the fact that there is a group that has made significant time investments doing something that could potentially get them killed, you'd have to wonder what the reason behind that would be. And I was kind of leaning towards exile or a disconnect from the first world in a way that they can get to and from it. In addition to the gates being a way to get other resources, because while this planet doesn't, we haven't figured out what it was before, it wasn't always garbage. There may have been things on other planets that were needed, whether they were inherently natural, like minerals, materials, things that help with magic, whether they were prey, so to speak, or if they were any other manner of thing, they would still need to go off world and get those. And the portals themselves have a lensing effect with how everything goes, how energy goes through them from outside the cosmos and from the sun out and back. This is also kind of an early works, but thinking about how that would work if you were trying to open up a sun to get back to your home in the first world through the positive energy plane by blasting a big hole in it. So that was kind of my idea as to why they were there and why they had set up this whole network. The catastrophe bit of it is that it did not work correctly, causing the system to be like it is now. So I think that even though I didn't define the actual race, because it could be even a fake confederation, but it does kind of tie up all these ends that we've all thrown out.
I have some silly thoughts.
Yeah, give us silly thoughts.
So when we were talking originally about the ley lines, I think it was, I don't remember whether it was you or James or whether it was Param, but one of you was talking about ley lines kind of working like the magnetic field of a planet almost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you know, the magnetic poles and where how that kind of like directs where the ley lines go. And if you wanted to go that route, in the real world, solar flares can actually mess with magnetic fields. So if we're talking about like punching through the sun to get to the material plane, maybe, and like usually in the real world when solar flares happen, they're active for a set period of time and then they end. So maybe this Fae Court triggers like these big solar flares, and that's them just blasting their rockets out of the sun. Like that's what the flare comes from. Mm-hmm. And that's what causes the disturbances in the ley lines when they come. Maybe it like charges the gates. Maybe the gates don't work when the Fae aren't actually like having a hunt. They're like, nah, we don't want you to get too far away. This is like our little hunting ground. You're on this planet. It's great. And like that could even be a reason why the Fae don't care about like whether or not what their effects do to the actual planets. Like, oh, well, it's just going to blow up anyway. Well, at least, you know, that way when the gates aren't, it's like, it's not a big deal. It makes you a little more interesting to hunt, more variety. If they had a way of traveling through the sun in a vessel that wasn't a starship, or like maybe even wasn't the drift engine, like, did we decide whether it was the drift engine or just starships in general that would destroy the setting?
Starships in general.
Yeah.
So maybe if they have something like different that doesn't need it, but like it's great for this sort of planar travel, but for any actual long distance travel, it's awful.
Oh, that... so yeah, that like I'm still forming a little bit, but the reason like punch through makes it seem like their original intent was to destroy the sun. Punch through meaning just like boring come a out. Hole.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're yeeting themselves out of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And if you were able to, say, make your body or your soul into energy to yeet yourself back into the first world, that would be something you'd want to do.
Can we come up like with an acronym for the machine that spells yeet? Like, is that okay? Is that too silly, fans? Like, if it was like the Yasmonian energy efficacious transfer. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Energy exchange transformer. EET, I got. We need to figure out the why. Maybe that's the race's name, the primary Fae race.
Yeah. Like the Urenzians or whatever. Just come up with a Y word. Just make it up so it spells yeet. Yeet out of the sun. So like, once they're yeeted out of the sun, how do they get back?
Oh, that's the thing. They're exiled at this place. Okay. The planet that they're on, while it did initially have a way to get from the first world to here, does not have that now.
I like that. And so coming up with an idea of why the Fae might not be all that helpful about stopping the wild hunt. Because remember, we were talking about why would they want to destroy themselves? Like all the Fae that are getting exiled are awful Fae. Like they're gremlins, they're pugwompies. They're just the worst kind of Fae getting yeet out of the sun.
Well, all it really, Fae get banished all the time. It happens in myth all the time. All you have to do is tick off the the queen or king of your court. So and then all the fae that pledge to you get exiled with you. So this just needs to be like, there needs to be one former court member that's in charge of this group of fae that just really ticked off or insulted their court liege.
So do we want this to be one time that they left and now they're stuck here? Or do we want it to be like a regular, like every couple of decades, the 10 year yeeting of the Fae?
I think it's more interesting if it does have a history and a lineage of being, they got exiled one time, and then the yeeting is them trying to get back and failing again and again. And then so when the convergence happened, they're like, well, screw one planet. Let's line all those suckers up and see what happens.
Let's yeet real and hard into it.
And the answer was, nope.
Yeah, because, like, it would, especially if it was, like, a type of fae that was spread out, it might be hard to find them, or especially if they are particularly tricksy, would take a while to get all of them out of a realm. So it might, I like that idea. And maybe have the fae court member have a personal type of fae in addition to the others that came with him, so you can still have your terrible pugwampies and gremlins.
Oh, no, that's what it is. They're all just yeeting all the pugwampies out.
Along with this more moderate fae race that's able to mingle with other people without breaking all of their things.
Oh, God. Please, we're normal, we swear.
And this helps to address a common criticism you've had, Alex, about the Pact Worlds, is we need actual definable adversaries. And by keeping it as, like, this one court's people, we have an adversary that is now
active. They're called the Yeetlings. I'm sorry, everybody. I am the worst today. I just keep destroying this show's momentum. I hope at least it's entertaining for everybody listening at home.
But so, like, I had some proto ideas, and this is kind of what it was about. It was more about why they're there, what their goal is, why they're still there, and their future is kind of something that we can sparse as we populate the actual Doom planet, where there might be some people, some of the Fae that want to continue this goal to get back, some that just go, well, this sucks, or some that are like, hey, that hunt thing, let's just never stop that.
Like, so this is, it's like, why do we want to go back to the first world where we're immortal and the hunts are boring and bossy McBoss Pants tells us how to do things? We're free here, and we get to kill all the mortals we want.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like it keeps at least that part of it open.
You know, if you really wanted, you could have, like, some kind of, like, fae biohacker who's, like, trying to figure out ways to, like, reverse engineer fae bodies to, like, shove mortal souls into so that they can make more of themselves. Maybe to prepare for, like, an invasion back on the fae plane. But, like, in the meantime, they're just kidnapping and murdering people. It's like the, gosh, there was a Junji Ito comic that I've read recently. It's called, like, the Dissolved series, where, like, it's a demon who dissolves people into, like, goop, but then the goop gets infused with their soul. So if the demon eats the flesh goop, then it's actually eating the person's soul too. And that's kind of like, ooh, that'd be creepy and fun. Like, take the hilarious Yeet Fae and then give them a terrifying spin.
I enjoy that a lot, actually, because that also kind of addresses the inherent flaw in their souls on the material plane.
They need ways to make more because this place is dangerous. Like, man, why are we living on this hell planet? Like, this is the worst. I don't know. Let's kill people. And, like, well, I guess we could kill animals, but, like, their souls aren't as awoken as humans, so it takes more of, like, an animal soul to make a fae. But, like, if you just go get, like, that dude down the street, he'd make a whole fae by himself. Maybe not like an eldest, but, like, definitely he'd be a good pugwampy. Like, come on, let's get that guy and we'll make him a pugwampy and he can help us eat more into it.
And I also like the... Oh, go ahead, Param.
And that works really, too, with the convergence happening. Like, it might not have been as terrible on the Hell Planet. I mean, Wild Hunt keeps happening. But now, you know, the place is a wreck, so now they need to hunt more often to get more people to make into more fae. And that gives a reason for our planets that up until now haven't been cooperating to suddenly have a very good reason to cooperate is, holy crap, things just got a whole lot worse, and now they're trying to hunt us all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it gives a good unifying force. And
listen, we can hunt them, we can kill them, and then we'll take everything that we hunted and we'll put it in our fey machine, and now we have a fey, and we had fun. It's great.
And now with the new planet's shifting landscapes and like habitable zones and not habitable zones, that kind of mimics the like stability anchors that you see in that are like mentioned in the first world, where sometimes a path will stay like going to the same place for like decades at a time, much to the abhorrence of a fey. So it kind of links up with that.
Mm-hmm. So what sort of interesting fey could live here? Like, what would be a Starfinder qualifying fey creature? Is there any classic fey from Pathfinder that would be fun to update to the new system?
Oh, is that the Springhill Jack, the one that doesn't have skin? Is that what that one is? I think that one's just horrifying and should be in every game.
I don't know if that one doesn't have skin, but I think it is a scary fey. Let me look it up.
Dungeon Novice is just saying all gnomes.
Gnomes. No, it's not that one. What is that clear fey? Oh my god, it haunts me.
Are you talking about the lurker in light?
No. It looks like a person, but it has like all of its muscles showing. Ah, boy,
that's just gross.
Yeah, it's something that's like that doesn't seem like it'd be a fey. That just seems like a broke undead that couldn't afford a coat.
I'm thinking we could have like red caps, but they have chainsaw boots.
Oh no, you did it in an article for Code Switch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just found your Code Switch article when I Googled it. Mm-hmm. According to you, you say this is a Silent Hill enemy. That doesn't help me, James, in the fast.
It might be on the heading.
Yeah, I'm gonna read. You guys keep going.
Mm-hmm. But yes, chainsaw boots.
Oh yeah.
Are we talking about red caps?
Red caps with chainsaw boots.
Yes.
Okay.
I love that a lot. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like Doulahans are like such an iconic fey that like they would have to be there, but you'd have like cyber Doulahans.
Mm. I do like Doulahans. I like them a lot.
Yeah. Although tech is a little bit weird, so they'd have to have magitech, and
they're on hover bikes instead of horses, of course.
I think they'd be like biology, because I feel like with the prohibition on tech, depending on where you lie on this fey spectrum of like, I want to keep this place like secure so I can keep doing my hunts, or I want to keep it secure until I can get back, you might want to use less tech. So you might go more like biological. So like your horse might, you know, it's still a fey creature, but it might be like a warped version of, I like using the Elikoth as like a warped version of an animal that would exist on a planet like this.
What if it's like people? Like, they decapitate people and then use their bodies and just, like, smerge them into mantars, like, headless mantars that they ride.
Oh, geez, that's horrifying. Oh, so, like, with the arms still on?
Yeah. It's basically, like, they're riding headless human centipede-type creatures.
I like it, even though it's horrifying. I really do like it. I like these things kind of getting as at least the ones that are in this very evil court, as dead spacey as possible. And that's well on that way.
I'm trying to see what would, like, how would we fit in like a Breelani into this?
What the heck?
Might I interject for a moment?
Of course. Yeah. We need
the name of the fey that you wanted was the Skin Stealer.
That's it.
Oh, Dungeon Novice. Good save.
Yeah. The reason that the Skin Stealer. The reason is that one is from Trial of the Beast. We played that adventure. We had to fight that thing, James.
Yep. It's not very hard, except when you're like, you know, level one.
I mean, he was a very angry Skin Stealer.
There's, you know what? This is a Pathfinder thing, but there's so many different abilities that steal skin and they all do different things, and that bothers me. We need to have a unified skin stealing rule, regardless of CR, because that's just weird that stealing somebody's skin is so different. Gremlins, I think gremlins and those type of fey, like those little more angry chihuahua type fey, I think they fit in really well as minions. Mm-hmm. Like they'd be something that you'd have around, but they wouldn't be very helpful.
There might actually be an overabundance of gremlins, especially with how unstable tech is in this
Yeah. That
maybe. Well, oh gosh, what if it was like glitch gremlins everywhere? you're flying your starship along through space. You're trying your best not to disrupt the fabric of reality, and then you just happen to go into a cloud of glitch gremlins.
Man, this whole place is just making me annoyed as an adventurer, but that's fine.
that's why people don't come here. We're from outside of the system.
That's why people in the system wouldn't want to go there, except when they absolutely needed to. God, we have to deal with those idiots again. If they're not terrible people riding undead horse, half-human centaurs with no horses, with no heads, it's those stupid things that make my cell phone not work. my magical cell phone not work.
Mm-hmm. My magic cell phone, no. Please, I need that. It's my best feature.
I use it as a personality.
So now that we've addressed some of the minions, what is their leader? Who is the face of this? Like, what qualities do we want from the lead Fae of these exiles?
I think it would be kind of great that since Fae are chaotic and these Fae have literally just been yeeted all over the solar system, if they had no real leader, if they were just running around sort of doing what you wanted, and like each region or maybe even each planet had like one person who was in charge, but because traveling between the planets is so difficult, you don't really have any single one Fae leader. Like, you don't have a Fae leader meeting. They're like, oh yeah, I'm sure there are others. The council really does like, the eldest really do like yeeting Fae all over this place. But whatever. If you land on this planet, you belong to me now.
Yeah, I like the I still think that it would behoove the setting to have the person who initially was exiled as a figure. But I feel like totally. They would not be super important on the whole. Like, they would be, think about how you think of Mother Teresa. You go, oh man, they were so important, and they were so good. Yeah, go have fun over there, I guess. You know, it's you're disconnected.
Yes. I think that it would be great if like one planet had the original, but then like another planet didn't have them. So like the strongest Fae is the one in charge. And then in another one, the Fae are all fighting and there is no real leader. It's more like a swarm, and like different places have different cultures of what the Fae look like based on who landed there and when they were sent and how long they've been there. I have a hard time of picturing a hierarchy of Fae, since most of them are supposed to be these chaotic creatures, you know?
But you were the one that argued with me very recently that you don't have a Fae without a Fae court.
Yeah, totally. But the Fae court is in another dimension. These are the exiles that have been yeeted. Like, it would be like if you had, what, we have seven planets in the system? If you had seven Australias and the Fae realms is England just yeeting random prisoners into random Australias, you're not going to really have a hierarchy.
I mean, what is it? England yeeted prisoners onto Australia and they adopted the exact same government.
Mm-hmm. So I think the original needs to exist, and they need to be on the Hell planet, and they're the one, like, because that's how the Wild Hunt works. There's a Fae that initiates it. Mm-hmm. And he's the one, or she's the one, or they're the one doing the wild hunting. And then, of course, yeah, they don't have universal control of the Fae. Most of them are, you know, just free, wild, chaotic beings that are probably really ticked off at them, which is only going to complicate matters worse. But like, they probably don't control all seven planets, but I think the central original reason they all got stuck here should still be an influencing force, so that we can at least have an adversarial faction for our setting.
I think you can have a faction for each planet and like have them be separate and distinct. That way you don't have just one big threat. You have a bunch of smaller local threats on different places that look different and affect the culture of that place. You know, like the type of Fae that are going to bother James's humanoid amphibians are going to look very different from the type of Fae that bother my crazy Viking children race.
Yeah, but see, I was actually thinking of it a little differently in how they spread throughout the system, because the issue with the gates aligning is that things come through the gate, and things don't necessarily stay in the gates. Because if things were really terrible and stayed in the gates, you'd want to do more to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that actually built the gates and do the traveling between that are still found in the setting, I think they would be a lot more neutral, still on the chaotic neutral side, but not like making big societies there. Whether bits of the Fae that come through that portal from the Doom Planet survive and eke out livings. That could be something that happens. Mm-hmm. But them being a big unifying enemy in each planet, I don't know if it feels authentic.
Yeah, it kind of pulls away from the threat of the Hell Planet if you have many Hell societies on each planet.
Yeah,
and well, they don't have to be Hell societies on every planet.
Yeah, and also the Hell Planet doesn't have to be unified. Like, it's I because of those different zones of habitability, I think you'd probably break it down into a couple major factions with dozens of minor factions, kind of like Varisia. Mm-hmm. You'd probably have your originators, the people that were first exiled. You'd have your newly created Fae through soul mashing, soul winemaking. You would probably have corrupted Fae from being here for so long and maybe going out of habitable zones, and whether that makes them more bestial or not. So you could, and there's probably ones that are more like, hey, this is actually not terrible. I kind of like the stability here, you know. So I think you can make a lot of variety on that planet. So it still makes it, you want to be a destination because you can find a lot of stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
But that does lead us back to the question then. We have to start with somebody. So who or what is the originator? What do we want this mythological, it's their fault character to be?
Well, what would get you kicked out of a Fae court besides just making somebody angry? Is there any...
Well, there's a few different ways that this goes about, either in the different myths. One of the common ones is literally lust for power. This is your Loki archetype. Okay. The other one is slept with the wrong person. I mean, that's a good way to really tick off your king or queen, is by sleeping with the king or queen's consort. Then there's the ever popular being better at something that the other Fae prides themselves on. And then there, of course, there's very big public failure of a task that they were assigned.
What would be interesting for a leader? Because, like, you can disavow people, right? I am not as familiar with Fae Legends as I think the two of you are. But are some of those something where your followers would be immediately disavow themselves? Like, oh, you broke the taboo.
There are certain things that, like, would get them kicked out. But we definitely want to avoid ones that let their followers off the hook, because we need there to be more than just the one Fae that got kicked out. We need a reason for a whole swarm of Fae. So basically, it needs to be a reason that their people would still be loyal to them, or at least a good chunk of them would.
You have a prince, right?
The
prince conducted a wild hunt on a different planet, not even in the solar system. And something happened, and he ended up having to make a bargain with a mortal. And, you know, when you make a bargain with a Fae, they're very prone to, like, twisting the wish kind of thing. But the mortal outsmarted him and got something really important and valuable from the first world. Or we couldn't call it the first world, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He got something really important and valuable from the first world. And it really ticked off the eldest. And so, like, this prince isn't a demigod. He's just a really powerful, high-level CR Fae. And he pissed off the eldest by losing something really important in a frivolous, like, basically a dick-wagging contest with a mortal, and lost. So, in punishment, him and his entire court were banished. And so, now, and you give him a title like, you know, Prince Velxiar the Foolish, or Prince Velxiar the Gullible, or, you know, something like, just something like that, that gives him a title that basically everybody refers to him by his greatest failure, because that's what the eldest decreed. And so you have this really powerful, really dangerous Fae, but, like, his bite is almost cut off by this title. So you have mortals who don't give him the proper respect that he deserves, and so that way you could introduce him to the players as, like, oh, this is what his name, and they'll go, oh, this guy is known as Prince whatever, the Foolish whatever, why did I have to worry about him? And then they cross him, and then they find out, like, how wrathful he actually is. So, and then they learn the story, like, oh, oh, this was a bad idea. This was a really bad idea.
I love the idea of a Devil Dimming Down the Georgia style competition where he loses and it loses like the first rose and he like gets a title like the Thornless Rose or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. I like that. I like that a lot.
So how I like this approach a lot, and this kind of fits in with a lot of myth where the mortal in this case would be typically framed if you were looking at like Celtic mythology or Greek mythology as the hero of this story, in which like a real common one would be like the mortal and the queen of the Fae were both had romantic interest of the same person. And in order to win, and so he challenges the prince for a way to get her or his heart. And as part of the wager, and the prince doesn't know what they're getting into. So when the prince fails it, then the mortal finds some way of wooing the target or finds some secret or some way of thwarting the queen or king's interest in the love interest. And that is what scorns them.
Yeah. I like that.
And then so this Fae forever, like Alex says, now has a chip on their shoulder for mortals. Like any uppity mortal adventurer is like their prime target. Like they're going to have so much fun screwing with PCs.
So I think we have to think of a myth or something like that. Well, not myth, but a myth style origin, like a little more specific. Okay. I like that though. That's fun.
But that's enough to put like the basics of it here. We can fill in the myth on another episode when we've actually had time to do research and think about it.
Right.
But so we have this character. Which world did he land on? Is he on the Hell Planet?
The Hell Planet was his planet. Like that's his exiled or her exiled place. That's where they end up. And it's bad because it's just the sort, like, they just keep leading Wild Hunt against mortals. Now we know why. They hate mortals, especially powerful mortals. So that's why they're Wild Hunt crazy and trying to get back. So, and then they get too ambitious, cause the convergence, which, like, really wrecks the Hell Planet. And now they have even more reason to cause trouble.
And sometimes as you go with a disgraced leader, you sometimes go, why am I still following them? So you can still have your break off camps from that.
Yeah, so definitely splinter factions have happened. People have left the Hell Planet to go to other places. You've got rival factions. You got backstabbing upon backstabbing because all that happens within Fae courts.
I also think it'd be hilarious if you sent somebody with a bunch of gremlins and pugwampies as a measure of their failure. Like, here, take these with you. You need these. These represent how useful you are.
Or like you throw pugwampies at them because pugwampies make you unlucky and make everything harder. So you send all of these pugwampies that just have the order to stay as close to him as possible because you're his personal bodyguard on this new inhospitable world, and now he just can't get the pugwampies to leave.
Yeah, no, this is fitting out really good.
Okay. Huh. So I guess next time we need to research myths, and I think the goal for this is to come up with pitches for the myth that, like, basically design the hero, design the love interests, design the ruler that got thwarted, and how that thwart happened in a way that is responsible, gang. And then we also should design what the Fae is, like a description of species, a look, and then basically put some specifics to this framework. And that'll be our assignment for next Create Demiplanet, with suggestions from the audience. Both during our live shows, we do take questions and suggestions from the audience, which is Dungeon Novice VIP this time for sure, for helping keep our facts straight. But if you want to chat with us anytime throughout the episode, you can do so at twitch.tv/NoDirection when we record live every Wednesday. There's something No Direction happening. Except this next coming Wednesday, we're all going to be in transit towards Gen Con. So next week, there's some stuff happening next week. There's going to be a lot of No Direction stuff happening next week, just not on Wednesday. Then after that, we resume normal broadcasting schedules. But if you want to talk to us anytime or chat with the most chill, most awesome Pathfinder, Starfinder community, you can do so on the No Direction Discord server. There's a link to it on our page at nodirectionpodcast.com. Look on the right. You'll see a big, giant Discord button. Click that. Join up. All the No Direction crew are there, as well as hundreds of our fans to just chat and hang out with. And there's a special place there just to talk about the Create Demiplanet project, where you can give us suggestions and ideas, and we do want to hear them. We want to see the very best ideas that you've got to help us make this place even more terrible for PCs to adventure through, because happy, fun, stable societies don't make great stories.
They really don't.
No.
Again, we wish to thank also our patrons. Our patrons support us at Patreon. You can find the link at nodirectionpodcast.com if you want to see this content and more great content happen, such as, say, Stellar, our actual play Starfinder podcast that just had episode 3 hit on Monday. You do want to hear that. It is the best Southern comfort you can have while also rolling dice and shooting lasers out of your mouth in some cases. Mouth lasers have happened on Stellar.
That's true. Yeah. Also, we've had Cavalier adventures.
We had stacks of Cavalier. Yes. There were layers involved in that.
At some point, if we get lots of patrons and enough money, we should totally get a picture of what happened with that Cavalier stack and get it like put on a mug or something, with just Shivy screaming.
Oh goodness, things get silly sometimes on Stellar, but
that's the best part. That's why you play Starfinder. You don't play Starfinder because it's a serious fantasy game. You play it because it's hilarious.
So do check that out, nodirectionpodcast.com. You can also reach us at facebook.com/nodirection, twitch.tv/nodirection, youtube.com/nodirectionshow, twitter.com/nodirection. And there's even an Instagram out there that I don't have because our fans actually have been curating that, not us directly. But do check those out if you want to reach out to us. There are tons of ways to do so. Anything else you all want to shout out to?
I don't think anything else big is going on except for Gen Con. Can you think of anything, James?
No, just the person that's running our table. We're ready for you. We're coming.
We're coming. Ehan, Venture Captain Black Rose. Oh, gosh, I messed it up. Venture Captain Ehan Black Rose Ichihara, Teen Detective, is coming.
Yeah, enjoy that.
Listen, no, you just have to remember Ehan. It's fine. Just, you know, that's the glory of having a long name. Yes, it's long for when you need to shout exposition with your name. But for the most time, Ehan is fine. It's a 2 syllables. It's good. But Venture Captain Ehan Black Rose Ichihara. Mm.
But yeah, other than that, I'm good.
All right. Excellent. All right. So until next time, go beyond with No Direction.
Bye.